AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet,
celebrating
your angels raining down here on the battleground.
For your glory,
we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
All right, we're waging war right here, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. It must be Monday at 5 o'clock in Cleveland because the issues, the people in the community, here we are every Monday going to battle. We're on offense, not defense, taking the battle to the devil, going to war. Yes.
Turkey week.
All right. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips. I am the senior pastor of Sure House Baptist Church, located at 11318 Miles Avenue, right here in the city of Cleveland. And we have worship service every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And thank God for the Sure House family and for you all listening today. You can also check us out on surehouse.org. This is our website page. And I'm joined at this very moment with our co-host, Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis. Oh, let me also tell you, I forgot, hold on, Dr. Jarvis. I'm also the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which is the amalgamation of all of the African-American organizations here in the city of Cleveland. And thank God for all of our leaders. And that's right, Dr. Jarvis, thank God it's Turkey Week.
Yes. So we have to make sure we get ready. Make sure we feed our pastors.
Yes, well, I'm going to be with my daughters in New York City, my youngest daughters, Kiana and Karina, that we're going to share Thanksgiving together. So I'm leaving tomorrow. So be praying for me, Dr. Jarvis, as I take flight to New York City. New York City is not a place I would ever want to live, but no problem with visiting. So
exactly.
And we want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone who's listening. And we will, this is our Thanksgiving show. So if you want to call in and just say what you're thankful for, what you thank God for, we want you to do that today. And I hope where I'm on the Sure House on the Facebook page, I hope, and our Facebook listeners are in tune today. And we also can find us on newstalkcleveland.com, newstalkcleveland.com, and our call in to the radio show today. If you want to call in and tell us what you're thankful for, give us a call at 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490.
You know what I heard yesterday, Pastor?
What's that?
I heard that at one church, instead of them having the sermon, the pastor had his congregation, one by one, the membership in attendance to say what they were thankful for.
Well,
isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. It is amazing. They didn't have, you wouldn't get that at Sure House, but thank God. But thank God for that pastor and those congregations. This is a time to be grateful. I do say nobody ever has to do anything for anybody. So if anybody does anything for you, you ought to pause and say thank you. It's really easy for us to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we got songs about thank you, Jesus. So we don't have a problem really thanking Jesus, usually, especially us Christian folks don't have a problem with that. But sometimes we forget to be thankful for the people that God has put in our lives. I thank God for you, Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis, for you being here on the radio broadcast with me as we continue to fight the battle here in the city of Cleveland. So I'm thankful for you, Dr. Jarvis.
And I'm thankful for T, because you could have chosen, selected anybody else in the world to be your co-host.
I sure could have.
I am so happy. Can I give you a hug?
You give me a hug, hug and a kiss.
You.
Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate that. I'm looking for a check, though. No, I'm kidding.
A check?
No.
Oh, okay.
A check
goodness,
for the... Listen, thank God for you, seriously. And I thank God for all of the folks who are continuing to help us do the work of the kingdom here in the city of Cleveland and abroad. So, well, thank God for you, our listeners. It's hard to believe that this year is closing as it is, and we're waiting. We've got a great guest coming. But I want to just pause and let folks, if you have something that you want to thank God for today, this is the day to do that. We'll take your call, 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490. Yesterday, we had an excellent worship service, Dr. Jarvis, and once we someone came to Christ and became a member of our congregation.
That's
always a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who you're impacting, but it's always good when you just get one soul. So I thank God for that. And that's actually two Sundays in a row that we've had people who join our congregation. Mm-hmm. So we really appreciate that.
What would you like for me to start off with things that I'm thankful for and grateful for?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, as a child of God, which I have no other choice than to be, couldn't think of being anything else. I am very thankful not only for my life, but for my health.
Yes.
Because I was diagnosed as a little girl when I was 11 that I would never get to see the age of 12.
Lord have mercy.
So I have a reason to be thankful.
And you look like you're about 18.
I am 18.
All right.
And then for my children, my grandchildren, and also be able to have great-grandchildren. And I have an abundance of people who I love, and I think they love me too because they smile, just like Shantae, who just walked in. And we have to be very thankful and grateful for each and every person that come in our life, because there is a reason and a season for them being our life. And
that's
it's
right.
All by the grace and the mercy of God.
Well said. And thank God for those who are watching by Facebook. I see. I'm going to wave to you. All right. I would appreciate you so much. All right. And we thank the Lord for Shantae Lewis Gibson, who just walked in the room. I don't know why you're sitting in the heap over there. You should probably sit here so I can be close to the Facebook camera. I really would like to invest in a cameraman, but we're doing good to do what we're doing, I will tell you. But I thank God for those who are listening. Thank God for, there she is. You see her. Hello to the Facebook family. Shantae, tell everybody where they can find the Cleveland Clergy Coalition website.
You can find our website at www.clevelandclergycoalition.org. www.clevelandclergycoalition.org.
All right, then. Do you know the Sure House website?
Yes, I do.
What is the Sure House?
www.surehousechurch.org.
All right, and you can find our information there. And by the way, normally, if this was not Thanksgiving week, we would have Job Seeker Tuesday tomorrow at Sure House Church, but we're not having it tomorrow because we're having Thanksgiving week. So we actually, Dr. Jarvis, we're broadcasting, but this is the last official act of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition this week. I thank the Lord. Now, you can still call us. What's the telephone number to call, Shantae?
216-333-1827. That's 216.
Uh-huh.
333-1827.
All right.
Our phone number.
1827. Now you
hit zero and you'll get me.
All right. Now, what do you get when you, what do you got to hit me? What is my number?
You have to hit extension 1 to get Pastor Phillips.
I'm 1.
But he won't answer, so just hit 0 and get me.
Looks like they're going to be, they want to start something today. Well, I will tell you, we are always open. We're like, Jerry Rice. We're always open. Some of y'all don't know Jerry Rice, but we're like Terrell Owens.
We're always
open. You know who that is.
Yeah.
I don't know who these new receivers are. We're like Odell Beckham. He's always
open.
What
about Myles Garrett?
He's not a receiver, baby. Just stick with me. Fine. Just let me. Can you let me do this?
Cool.
Thank you. All right. Like Odell Beckham. Come on in. Like Odell Beckham. And then let us have your seat now. Well, we're always open. We're always doing the work of the Kingdom of God, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. This is what we do. We don't believe. We don't ever sleep nor slumber. We're always about our Father's business. So even while I am going to see my daughters in New York, you can still give us a call. We just are not having Job Seeker Tuesdays, but we are still actively recruiting. We need folks to be a part of the, if you're interested in construction jobs, we need you to come and be a part of and give us a call. The class starts in January, and I think the last day, do you remember that, Shantae? The last day for the construction is December or something?
Yes. We need to have folks registered by the 12th. Of December. The deadline is coming up on us, and the class is going to start mid-January.
Right, so
we're over at Tri-C. It's an 8-week course for the construction trades. Yes,
now
you
can call us this week if you're interested in that, and we are taking that information. We'll be back on Job Seeker Tuesday, December the 6th?
December the...
I'm not sure. The 3rd. It sounds like that's probably more right than the 6th.
That's it.
December the 30th. I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
We'll be broadcasting. We won't miss a broadcast. So I'll be here next Monday after Thanksgiving. So we just wanted to catch you all up. That's what we're doing. Hopefully you're preparing a nice fat turkey and some dressing.
Fried turkey.
Somebody ought to make some greens. Somebody ought to be making some macaroni and cheese. Boy, I'm getting hungry already.
Me too.
But I couldn't think of a better person for us to close out this month with. And I have to say, full disclosure, I think we have one of the greatest leaders and senators, elected officials, who's on this broadcast today. And I can say that as a personal testimony. A lot of times I will tell you a lot of things that I've done by failure. And I failed.
Preach.
Yeah. You know, you can learn a lot by failing. And I was an idiot and was with a preacher. He has went on to be with the Lord, who wanted to take the place of Annie Key's state representative seat. And I didn't know no better. That was a long time ago. I would never do what I did back then.
I didn't run.
I was running a campaign for a preacher who couldn't win.
Okay.
And he couldn't win because the better candidate won. And her name was Sandra Williams. And I tell you what, I didn't even know who she was. And then when I first seen her, I said, oh, we're in trouble right now because she has a very beautiful face. She's very smart.
Yeah.
She's very embracing. And
graceful.
She knew she was going to beat us, and she was embracing us anyway. She's like, I know I'm going to win, but I love you anyway, Pastor Phillips.
Now, she told us your story, the mistake you made. Has she forgiven you? Can I finish my story?
How are you going to interrupt me? This is my program. Now, can you shut your... No, listen. I will tell you, right after she won, she was smart enough to... She actually embraced us. I wish I could say I was smart enough to do that, but I wasn't. But she was, and I have been so impressed with her. That's one of the things... I know she remembers that, but that's one... And ever since that day, from this day, we have always been supportive of now Senator Sandra Williams, and she is fantastic. Every time she has a fundraiser and the fish fry, we go. We support because
it's
everybody's
nice.
There. She is a fantastic, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious leader,
and
I thank God for her. And she has taken the time out of her busy schedule to come and be on our radio broadcast, and we thank God for that. So say hello to everyone, and you're on Facebook Live too. Send we watch. We always want to put good looking people on Facebook
for us
to make up for myself. All right, can you see? All right, say hello to everyone.
Good evening, everyone. How are you all tonight?
We're all right on this Thanksgiving week. And tell us what's happening with you and what we need to know, what's going on in downstate in Columbus.
Well, first of all, thank you And I will say that once the campaign was over, both sides came together, and that's how we have been able to work collaboratively to make things happen for the 21st Senate District and the 11th House District.
That is absolutely right.
That's what should happen in our society. When you're finished with the campaigns, you come together for the good of the people.
That's it.
Boy, isn't she great? Listen, that is fantastic. And what's, we got to go, we got to go. That's the music. But she's still staying here. Man, I was just getting started. We're coming back. The issues of people in the community. We've got about a 3-minute break. We've got to pay some bills, Senator. But dude, we'll be right back. You can give us a call, 216-578-1490. The first segment is going to be totally dedicated to Senator Sandra Williams as we come back. Hear from us on the other side of this break.
Here on the battleground, for your glory, we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies like never before. We're waging war.
Everything you need to know about Cleveland sports, news, weather, and more is at NewsTalkCleveland.com. For instant updates, follow us on Facebook at NewsTalk1490 and on Twitter at NewsTalk1490.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally, weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE, 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 30 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Don't miss the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
This is Skip Murphy. Tom and Sybil are off for the Thanksgiving holiday, so Madeline Woods and I will be holding it down. Tomorrow, comedian Jackie Fabulous sits in for Kim and Sherry. Director Terry J. Vaughn stops by. Sean King has the scary truth, and Jackie Reed goes inside her story. All that and more on the next TJMS.
The Tom Joyner Morning Show, tomorrow morning from 6 till 9 a.m. on News Talk 1490 WERE and streaming live at blackplanetradio.com.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
We're going to battle, and we thank God on the battlefield you have to have generals. We have one of our generals here today in Senator Sandra Williams, and she's going to speak to us now and tell us what's happening in Columbus. And you may want to explain to everybody that will help us who know understand what it means to be a state senator in the state of Ohio. Sometimes I Shante was telling me, you know, what does that mean? Because maybe take a moment to explain who you represent and what that means to be a state senator.
Sure. Again, thank you for having me. As a state senator, I am one of 33 people in the state of Ohio that represents approximately 365,000 people in the Ohio legislature. And our main responsibility is passing an operating budget. Every 2 years, we pass an operating budget where we fund the schools, the prisons, health care. We provide funding for certain economic development programs. Pretty much anything you see, we have our hands in it. We also make all of the laws for the state of Ohio. So any law that you have to follow in this state, it comes out of the state legislature, the House of Representatives or the Ohio Senate. And we pass a capital budget, and that's right now what we are focusing on. Every 2 years, every even-numbered year, we pass or propose a capital budget. And a capital budget is really bricks and mortar, where we provide money for roads, bridges. We provide money to build buildings, mostly for state agencies or those connected to any state agency or organization. So today I have spent my time since 7 a.m. Talking to people who are asking for money through the state capital budget. Last year, we provided funding for Playhouse Square to do the building that they are working on right now, which will include apartments and a parking lot. We gave money to all of the museums in the state of Ohio. We provided money to Case, Cleveland State University, and many other agencies that are supported by them.
Wow.
So I knew
that, but it's just overwhelming to hear. What a great job that you have, and thank you for it. Sis has asked the question I know folks want to know. How many African-American senators are there?
There are 4 African-American senators in the state of Ohio.
And how many total senators are there?
33.
So you're one of 4.
I am one of 4, but ask me another question. How many African-American females are in the Ohio Senate?
That was my next question.
I am the only African-American senator in the state of Ohio.
Only female. Yes, that was my next one. Okay, I want to take her for these 15 minutes first, though, Leo. So thank you, though. We've got some, they can hold for a moment. We have, see, you're so popular, people are lighting up the phone, but I want you to, I want to spend some more time. So on all of those things, one of the questions I would have as a community perspective person, are you able to ensure that African Americans are working on these projects once you make sure they get passed? What kind of influence do you have in making sure that we have good representation with African Americans working on those projects?
Well, I would say a couple of things. Number one, I think the state of Ohio is going in a backwards direction when it comes to minority participation. You all may have heard about the Fannie Lewis law.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, the members of the Senate and the House of Representatives passed a law because there was an organization here that does not reside in the state of Ohio who did not want to comply with the Fannie Lewis law. And right before that, the city of Akron passed a similar law, something similar to the Fannie Lewis law. And I believe their requirement was 50%. So people got upset because, number one, they didn't want to hire 50% of their people from the city that they were doing work in. So the members of the legislature passed a bill that says that you cannot require any company who receives a government contract to use people from that city. And if you do try to enforce inclusion from people who reside in the neighborhood that the work is being performed in, then we are going to, number one, not give you any state dollars. Number two, we're not going to pass down federal dollars to you because the state is a conduit for the federal government in most cases. And number three, anytime you do that, we will withhold money from you.
Wow.
Right. So you won't get anything, federal money, state money, or any other monies that you have coming.
So those
I did not know that.
Yes. Were deliberately not hiring minorities?
Well, therein lies the problem. That's why we probably have a problem now.
Right. And the other thing is the city of Cleveland and other cities actually sued the state of Ohio for that law. The Supreme Court is actually going to be ruling on that pretty soon. But as you might know, the makeup of the state Senate is really not in our favor. We had 2 Democrats that just won, but we don't really have the votes there. So unless somebody has shows some compassion for these big cities who have big unemployment issues within their communities and poverty in our communities that we need to address, unless somebody in the Supreme Court actually considers this an issue that needs to be fought for, then that part is done.
Now well, I'll go back I'm, to I'm an, stunned. You have me. I'm actually
right. And I'll go back to another
speechless
thing. Years ago, probably over two decades ago, the African American, the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus actually got language passed in the state legislature that said that because of the disparities within the construction industry, that they were supposed to have, there was supposed to be not a set aside because nobody likes that question, but 15% of all construction projects were supposed to go to minorities and 15% for goods and services. Well, the contractors, some of them sued the state of Ohio for that law, and they won. And what they did was a study to show that there was no disparities in treatment between minority contractors and other contractors
Lord
in
have
the
mercy,
state.
Jesus.
However, the 15% for goods and services were actually was actually held up. Now, this is the thing. You have a law on the books right now dealing with 15% for goods and services. And so people who are listening, who know people who have a product that they might want to sell to the state of Ohio, whether it's water, whether it's toilet paper for the prisons, whether it's paper for offices to use, right, whether you have a bus, you can go to the Department of Administrative Services in the state of Ohio, and you can get your business registered as a minority business. And once you are vetted, then when companies are looking for that type of work, they can go to this list that's already of people who have already been vetted. And they can, they don't have to, pull your company and ask you to do business with them. Now, going back to another part, the 15%.
So is that was that a part of the compromise? Or
that's just, that's a part of the 15% for goods and services.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Getting to the point about goods and services in this state, every state agency is supposed to have at least 15% of their goods and service coming from from a minority business. And remember, a minority business, by definition, in the state of Ohio, is also includes
women.
A white woman.
Yeah.
So
right.
A woman,
all women.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's everybody. But what we found after doing analysis is that most of the state agencies were not complying with the law.
Okay.
So it's always important to make sure whoever is overseeing and monitoring these state agencies is actually enforcing the state law.
Well, who's
and
responsible?
Usually they
is
don't.
The state responsible for
the
compliance?
State is responsible for monitoring itself, and it usually falls to the executive, which is usually the governor. And then in every state agency, there's supposed to be a compliance person that's making sure that this law is being fully implemented. Which takes us to what some people have deemed front companies. Where people who are working with people who don't necessarily have a minority business, and they're getting a kickback for acting as if they're working on this particular contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not dealt with that issue in the state of Ohio yet.
Wow, boy, I didn't know all that was going on. That is horrific.
It's been a big fight that we have not won, and it's been decades and decades since it's been going on.
Boy, and do they have hearings about this? Are there opportunities for us to come and make a statement and stand with you as you're pushing forward to legislation to change this?
Well, I will tell you this. There is nothing going on right now. Our current president of the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus is Representative Stephanie House, and she has been working with the governor to try to get some enforcement on these laws. We had a previous president, Alicia Reese out of Cincinnati, who worked with Governor Kasich when that first report came out, or the updated report came out to show that nobody was really enforcing the law. And she had been working with Governor Kasich, and he told his staff that he wanted at least 15%, if not more, of minorities to get this business in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
But again, I can't verify that information, and you can send me a report that tells me that there's a 15% of minorities doing the work in DRC, or 15% of the people doing the work in the Department of Education, but I'm only getting the data. I'm getting a name. Sometimes they give you that. Sometimes they just give you the 15%. So they only give you what they want. And unless somebody is going back and peeling back the layers, then you really don't know what they're giving you. I'll give you a perfect example of that. When we when I was the Legislative Black Caucus president several years ago, we made a change in state law when it came to construction in the state of Ohio. So the president of Ohio State University wanted to do construction manager, wanted to have the project changed to construction manager at risk. And that was a $1 billion project for what Ohio State was building. It was phase one, phase two, $1 billion each.
Wow.
And so I worked with President Gordon Gee to make sure that we got 20% of that contract going to people, not just from Columbus, but from across the entire state of Ohio, from all different types of trades, to make sure everybody had a hand in building that hospital. And I can say for certain, because I've talked to them and I'm used to meet with President Gordon Gee every month to go over those numbers, and he was particular.
So you became a monitor yourself, a compliance officer, basically.
Yes, we worked directly with him.
Right.
And we went through, we called people, we had the contracts. I had people like Tracy Hurd, who was working with me. She was going and meeting with the companies. I've met with several of them, too. A few of them are in the city of Cleveland, who told me that if it were not for you and this contract with Ohio State University, my company would have went under. Because this was
Well, that's fantastic.
Recession.
We got a caller. You became, that's going over and beyond the call of duty. That's what I'm. That's excellence. You all. I mean, that part is not in her job description as a senator. But you don't just do what's in the job description. You go over and beyond the call of duty. That's what makes you excellent. And thank you so much for that. We're going to the next break. You can take us out of here, Dr. Jarvis. Go ahead.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, about the people, the places, and the community. This is News Talk Cleveland, 1490 AM on the dial, WERE. And you can also listen to us on Alexa or download the News Talk app, or pick us up on the internet at www.newstalkcleveland.com. Okay, and happy Thanksgiving week.
I'm ready for the battle. I'm ready to win.
Car. You wanna ride fly? 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Forget them other dealers. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. North Coast Auto Mall. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Hey. North Coast Auto Mall. They gon' have you riding round. Something new. 99 cents down.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. Mm. Hard to believe it though. But trust me, people, they have tons of vehicles. North Coast Auto Mall. 3 locations. And they work with any credit situation.
Any credit situation.
So don't worry about your credit.
About your credit.
At North Coast Auto Mall, you can get it. You need a new whip. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. You wanna ride fly? 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Forget them other dealers. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. North Coast Auto Mall. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Visit North Coast Auto Mall and get a new car for as little as 99 cents down at any of our 3 locations. Broadway and Rockside on the Bedford Auto Mile. Britton Road across from Chapel Hill Mall in Akron. And Pearl and Brook Park in Parma.
99 cents down. For example, amount of finance equals 9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297.91 upon approved credit.
This is Reverend Al Sharpton. Join the National Action Network, not because of what we have done, because we have done much, but because of what we are still doing. We need action around voting rights. We need action around health care. We need action around dealing with the injustice in the criminal justice system. Be a member of the Action Network that's out now fighting for you. Call 1-877-626-4651. Or go online to www.nationalactionnetwork.net and become a part of the action.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. 1777, R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Staples gives your business more for less. At Staples, you'll find the latest tech to help you work smarter, not harder. Staples, there's a whole lot in store this holiday.
I'm getting older. Do I need to worry about falling?
Yes, you do. Each year, one in four people 65 and older will experience a fall, and many will be serious. The majority of falls happen at home, so remove things that could make you trip and install handrails to keep you steady. To learn more about the steps you can take to help prevent a fall, please talk to your doctor. You can also visit aarpfoundation.org or medicaremadeclear.com/falls. This message was brought to you by United Healthcare and AARP Foundation.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
We're back to Issues of People in the Community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, senior pastor of Sure House Baptist Church, located at 11318 Miles Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. Best place to be on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And I'm also the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which is an amalgamation of all of the African-American clergy groups. And by the way, I don't think tomorrow is going to be Clergy Day, at least not for the Baptist Ministers Conference, which meets at 1 o'clock at Pastor King's Church, First Baptist. Well, we will not be there tomorrow because we are taking off for the holiday. And the Baptist Pastors Council, which meets on Wednesday, is also off. I'm not sure about UPM tomorrow, so I'll try to find out before our broadcast is over if we're going to be at UPM tomorrow. All right. Happy Thanksgiving to all of y'all, too, on Facebook. We appreciate you listening. And we're going to get right back to I have the privilege of having our Senator Sandra Williams is with us today. And we thank God for you being here, Dr. Jarvis, as well as you, my dear sister, Shante Lewis Gibson. But we are having a very interesting conversation about minority participation in economic development, which is something the coalition is always directly involved in. But tell us some other things that of interest that you want us to know. But wait a minute before we do that. We have someone who's been very patient and wanting to call. Carly, you're on the air. Now that they've been so patient, you're on the air.
Go ahead.
Yes. This is Reverend John Kidd.
How are you, Reverend?
Yes, fine. I was calling in to talk about our Thanksgiving service that we held yesterday at St. Paul AME Church in Lima.
All right. And what happened there yesterday, Pastor? Because we started our show saying talking about being thankful. So what took place at your church yesterday?
We had a testimony service yesterday, and it was very animated.
I think we're getting a bad reception, Pastor, but thank you for calling. Dr. Jarvis said that you had everybody, instead of you preaching, everybody testified, and we thank God for that. But I'm going to get right back to thank you. God bless you, and happy Thanksgiving. All right. We're back here with our Senator Sandra Williams. Thank God for you being right here with us. Can you give us some more what you would need? What do we need to know as your constituency, what's happening in Columbus that we need to be concerned about?
Well, let me just send a big shout out to Reverend Kidd. I used to be a parole officer in Lima, Ohio.
So
it's
always
good to hear from people from Lima, Ohio.
But wow, that is great. That's great.
Let me tell you what I'm working on. I have a lot of bills in front of the legislature right now that I believe will move the needle.
Move closer to the mic.
Move the needle in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
As you all know, we have this big issue of poverty, and we have a big issue with unemployment or underemployment in the state of Ohio.
That's right.
And I believe one of the best things we can do is make sure our people are educated on the jobs that are available today.
Okay.
And so I have been working with many different organizations, including the Creative Builders Trade Academy, similar to the academy that you all have, training people in the construction trades.
Okay.
And Dale Martin and others are involved.
Oh,
with,
great.
Creative Builders Trade Academy. But more importantly, I want to catch people while they're still in school. And there is a program in the state of Colorado called CareerWise. And that program has trained people before they leave high school. They start in the 9th or 10th grade, and they get trained by going to school half of the day, and then they go to work and get paid an hourly wage to get a skill. So they're doing an internship, which would then lead to a certificate and an industry-recognized credential that they can then take and go directly out into the workforce and get a job that pays a living wage. And that is something that I am hoping we can adopt in the state of Ohio.
Yes, remember,
years ago when we were in school and you could go to Max Hayes and get a skill and then go out into the workforce. We had that on west side of Cleveland, but we don't have it on the east side of Cleveland.
Right.
And I think that's something that's missing, not just at one school in the state. It should be on the east side and or at multiple schools. And so that's a bill, Senate Bill 219, that I am working on right now, that I believe will help our people who are in high school. Number one, you don't have to worry about going to Tri-C to go get training after you get out of school. We should be training people and having them career ready when they graduate from high school.
Instead of taking
on a lot of debt like myself, who have all hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt from trying to be prepared for jobs out there today. So that one thing that I'm working on.
Excellent. Well, we want to support you with that, and we can also be a feeder for you where we recruit people for jobs every day. That's really the top thing that we do as ministry with the coalition, and we have manufacturing jobs available as well as the construction trade jobs and jobs with First Energy Net quite naturally. But I will tell you, you're so right about the training process, and I know one of the problems that we have is recruiting is getting the word out.
That's right.
It would be great if we were already in the school. That's where we have a captive audience right there. That will take care of a lot of that, Chante, as far as making sure people are to be where they're supposed to be. That recruiting piece has become a very difficult thing.
It is.
But I really appreciate you having the insight to see that everybody shouldn't go to college.
Go to college, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we know that. I'm not sure I would have went if I could do it all over again.
I know that as well.
Because you got a big deal. I'm still paying.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been out of college for 30 years. I'm still paying my. I have every month. I got my student loan comes out.
Yep.
So I mean, to this very day. So I really appreciate what you're doing there, and we can definitely want to support that and whatever we can do to help you with that legislation. God bless your soul for that one.
Well, I definitely need people to understand that there are a significant number of jobs like you've been talking about over the years that can get people the salary that they need to take care of themselves.
Right.
And you cannot take care of yourself and your family with $10 or $15 in
an
the state.
That's right.
It's just not gonna fly, especially with the way the housing stock, what it costs to actually live in this community, how it's going.
That's right.
So I just need people to be prepared. I want people to be self-sufficient. I don't want anybody dependent on government. And I'm sure nobody really wants to be
dependent on government. No, we do not. That's
So we need to
get
people
prepared. Isn't she a breath of fresh air?
She is.
I'll tell you, we talk about that all the time. We don't want to just, you know, everybody's always looking for something for nothing. That is not who we are.
Yeah.
We want to have our own independence, and we can do that, and we need our own economic development program. And the best economic development program is a good career.
That's right. Well, you don't have to be dependent on anybody else.
That's right.
You're not begging for a job because you have the skill set
to go out to any company and do whatever job you want. Yeah.
If you're an electrician and you don't feel like working for that company anymore, you start your own company.
That's right.
You hire people yourself. And that's how we begin to build communities.
That's right.
We hire people. We shouldn't have to have a state law to say you got to hire another minority in the community to get them a chance. You should want to
do that.
The simple fact that I'm looking at you build something in my community. I'm looking out my window at my house, but yet I can't get a job with you. I shouldn't have to beg to get a job with you.
Right, absolutely.
So that's one thing, Pastor, that I am working on.
Okay.
Is something called the Civilian Interaction Training. It's Senate Bill 16. It was brought to me by the Boulays in the city of Cleveland and throughout the state of Ohio. And this is something that passed in the state of Texas after Sandra Bland was killed.
Okay.
And it talks about what do you do when you are interacting with law enforcement officers in this state.
Okay.
And many people don't know. A couple of people asked me a few questions about, what do? Do you have to give your driver's license to people? Can I roll my window up? Can I demand that I see your supervisor? Do I have to get out of the car? Should I go into my glove compartment box and get my registration and whatever else? Or should I not?
Right.
What do I do? And what this bill basically says is, while you're in high school, you should be giving or taught all the rules of what the state laws are. So when you're interacting with a law enforcement officer, you know what to and what not to do. That could be you walking down the street and you get stopped. That could be you sitting at a bus stop. That could be you driving down the street. What are my rights? And I'll give you an example. A young lady right now has just received a case for assault. Her and her roommate got into a fight. The police officers came, and she felt threatened by the police officers, so she didn't let him in the house. She slammed the door on him. Then they said, you have to open up the door. Somebody has called the police, and we need to come in. Well, she didn't want him in, and she wouldn't let them in for a very long time. Now, it probably pissed a few of those people off. This is not in the city of Cleveland, but she ended up getting a charge. They were very upset with her because they thought that she was not complying with their order by not opening up the door and letting them in.
Right.
And she ended up going to jail that night.
Wow.
And I have another young lady who works for me. After we introduced this bill, she was on her way to work with a girlfriend of hers. The girlfriend had a baby in the back seat. When they were stopped, the girl in the front seat turned to the back seat to control her baby. Then she opened the door. Then she went into the glove box. And the police officer, who was the State Highway Patrol, came up with his gun out.
Wow. And that part's right there.
Okay.
We got to come back. Thank you, Leo, for letting us go a little. You have our attention. I would thank God for that. That's a great story. We're listening to Issues of People in the Community. We have our own state senator, Sandra Williams, is in the house, and she's giving us some great information today. We need to have you here on a regular basis. Thank God for you, Senator. You hear from us on the other side of this break.
Finish your story, please.
In your name, your rule and reign.
NewsTalkCleveland.com.
Marie, is that you?
Oh, hi, Barb. How you doing?
Better now. Did you know we had a little health scare with Jeff?
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, he had been short of breath and was really tired a lot of the time. He just thought he was getting old and was out of shape, but it turns out it was heart valve disease.
How did you figure it out?
He finally went to the doctor, and she was able to listen to his heart and detected the problem. I didn't realize it, but heart valve disease is more common than you'd think. They were able to replace the valve, and he's feeling so much better now.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
More than 5 million Americans are diagnosed with heart valve disease every year, but most people know nothing about the condition, and it can be deadly if untreated. That's why it's important to listen to your heart and ask your doctor if your symptoms may be due to heart valve disease or if you're at high risk. A message brought to you by Heart Valve Voice US. For more information about the symptoms and treatments for valve disease, go to heartvalvevoice-us.org.
What's up, Cleveland? Are you ready for up-to-date sports news of your Cleveland Browns, your Cleveland Cavs, and Cleveland Indians, as well as Cleveland sports athlete interviews and great sports debates? Well, join Tank, Javon, and Bruce every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for Against All Odds Sports Radio Show. That's Against All Odds Sports Radio Show. Make sure to listen to the show and call in and join us for our debates at 216-578-1490. That's 216-578-1490.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
1490 WERE traffic.
Good evening. This traffic update sponsored by Staples. As we take a final look at the roads for your drive home, if you're in Stark, you're going to find an accident on 12th Street going northwest just east of 77. Another accident in Richfield headed southbound 271 just after 77. If you're in North Randall, you can expect about a 20-minute delay going westbound 480 between Miles Road and 77. And in Independence, the earlier incident has been cleared. The traffic lights are fixed going east or westbound Rockside Road at 77. Staples gives your business more for less. At Staples, you'll find the latest tech to help you work smarter, not harder. Staples, there's a whole lot in store this holiday. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WEREAM, the People Station.
All right, we're back. Facebook, we're back too. We're back listening. I'm live on the radio. We appreciate you all listening today. Getting such an education from our state senator being here. Oh, I want to just say a shout out to, I will do this, Shante Lewis Gibson. Shout out to Janice Baldwin, who's watching. God bless you. We're always praying for you, Sister Janice. Thank God for you. She's one of our sick and shut-in senator, and she has to watch us on the Facebook. That's one good thing about the Facebook ministry. I am so overwhelmed that we do have to actually train people to know how to interact with the police. I mean, we look right, we're the same age. We already always knew how to interact with the police. Nobody had to tell us that. You know, we knew and then the other side of that, though, is that the police is so bad in our community that we don't have that kind of relationship anymore. So that works. That does work both ways. So you were saying, as you were talking about the people being trained, we were off the air, but can you talk about the officers being trained as well?
Senate Bill 16 also requires that every law enforcement officer in the state of Ohio be trained during their annual training.
Right.
And we have gotten great support from law enforcement officers for the training that they will receive, as well as the civilians within our community in schools being trained, and the fact that the information will be in the BMV book once the bill passes to make sure everybody has it. Now, this has to be taught in the school. However, it is not a requirement for graduation. In Texas, they have about a two-hour program where law enforcement and other attorneys may come in, like the ACLU, and actually go through the training. There will be community organizations involved.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I would think it'd be good to have other, not just in the schools, but maybe we could have community groups because, you know, unfortunately, Pookie and Ray Ray don't always in school.
Right.
You know,
we should have community groups
and things to let people know and then have officers there. We really need to rebuild that trust between law enforcement and the community. That needs to be rebuilt again because there's a real jagged edge. And I know, and you know, she's a millennial, so I understand that whole thing. They have no trust for police. Mm-hmm. But I tell people all the time, somebody knocking on my door that I don't know, I'm calling 911. I believe in the police. I don't have any problems. Mm-hmm. I have no problems, man. And I don't understand that in our communities, you have to be safe, and we need good education to have good and to build good, strong communities. So we
got to revamp that era.
We do.
That's not the era.
We do. Listen, when I was a kid, I'm sure you all could testify to this, I knew the police officers who were in my neighborhood. I mean, I knew them. We knew them personally. They would come to the church and everything, and they mostly looked like me. Mm-hmm. But then the ones that who didn't, we knew them, especially we knew them. Mm-hmm. But these guys now, I'm pastor on Miles, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in the thick of it. I know the district office, the commander. Mm-hmm. I know who the commander is, but I don't know any of the officers in my district. Mm-hmm. They haven't come to knock on my door, you know, mm-hmm. and that's a that's a huge, I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening. There's a lot of issues. I don't want to be too critical because I know that it's tough to be a police officer these days. We got these young boys.
Yeah.
You know, we had the other day, the shooting of the young girl the other day, you know, 11-year-old girl being shot. So, you know, the world is not the world we grew up in. So I know we have to, that's what I was saying to you, Shante, is that's why police officers have to be very concerned. You have 14-year-old boys carrying a gun. So you got, you never know what you're coming up against. So it's everything, there's, you know, there's never black and white. It's usually mostly gray, and that's the way we are today. And I thank God that you're fighting a great battle. I pray for our legislatures all the time in my daily prayer. That's not something that I would ever want to aspire to do, because you see a lot of things, and you got to thank God for your integrity. Tell us some more things that you want us to know.
Well, one bill that has been supported, or that I've introduced, that was supported by Judge Sweeney in Cleveland Municipal Court, is Senate Bill 68, dealing with reinstatement fees. As you all know, if you get caught driving without insurance in the state of Ohio, you have to pay a reinstatement fee. And that reinstatement fee is pretty expensive. It can start at $250, can go up to $400-some-odd. And you know, when you already work a minimum wage job, can't afford insurance in the first place.
That's why you were driving without
insurance.
Right.
And then you have to pay court costs. And the reinstatement fee, what are you going to do? You're going to keep driving and go to work to be able to take care of your family.
Absolutely.
So right now, certain courts allow you to pay your court costs and other expenses doing community service. Mm-hmm. But the courts cannot allow you to pay your reinstatement fee using community service.
Right.
So Senate Bill 68 says that for the money that you owe the state of Ohio for your reinstatement fee for driving without insurance, you can actually work that $250 off or the $400 off that you owe the state by doing community service.
Wow.
That will allow you to get back on the road. You don't have the fees anymore, and you will be able to drive legally and hopefully find some very inexpensive SR-22 insurance.
Right.
I will tell you that the BMV the Highway Patrol and others were very supportive of this, the BMV, because we have over 1 million people in the state of Ohio who are driving illegally due to the fact that they have not paid their reinstatement fee.
Wow.
And that statistic came from the BMV director.
Wow.
1 million people who said that I have to get to work and I don't care because the manufacturing jobs are all the way in Twinsburg or in the outer ring suburbs of Columbus.
Right.
Nobody is, you know, doing much manufacturing within the city where most of the people who live in those communities actually live.
Right.
So they're going to drive one way or another, whether it's to go to the bank or the grocery store, because we don't have one in our communities. Mm-hmm. And there are over 1 million people now driving illegally in the state of Ohio for that very reason.
Wow.
So that bill passed out of the Senate with full support.
And wow.
It's been around since like the beginning of the year, though, right?
I introduced it last year.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, the judges in some of the smaller communities were opposed to it. They said that they do not have the personnel to go out and find community service sites that people can go out and do community service. So they didn't want to do it. And last GA, when I first introduced it, it was a shall instead of a may. The judicial conference was opposed to it for that reason.
Okay.
So we worked to make it a shall and explain to them that if you don't want to have this program in your community, then don't do it. You can answer to your constituents as to why they are the ones who have to pay the $250.
Right now, Katie, if I live in nowhere, Ohio, can I do my community service in Cleveland and still get credit?
If the judge allows you to.
Okay.
And they can partner with a different court.
Yeah, why would a civilian be able to go out and find that? Why would the judges or the court personnel be held responsible for finding it? Wouldn't that be something that the civilian would have to do?
The court would have to know
where they're doing it.
Yes, where they're doing a community service. But there is a way to actually do that. When I was a probation officer, I used to do that all the time for people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
how many people need to have grass cut, snow removed?
Listen, we got a heap of work for them to do at Sure House, Senator.
A
heap of work, absolutely.
Yes, we do. Work that people in the community may have work that they need doing.
And that's a good place to bring the community and other folks together. And brother, our producer is telling us we only have 2 minutes, but we have one more single half hour. Can you stay, Senator? If you have to go, we understand. But we got an uninterrupted 30 minutes. Can you stay?
I actually have to go.
If you got to go, you got it. I'm glad that you're here this long. I really appreciate that.
Because I have one more thing I want to
say. All right, we're going to come back and shout out, and then we'll let you go. Okay. But thank God for that. Man, this is what we're talking about. That's representing the people.
Thank you.
That's why I love her. I'm telling you, I have never. I love it. Well, Shante, I'm always right. But I love it when I'm so right and it's just demonstrated. I love that. All right?
He turned around and said it to her and not to you and I, right?
So you are fantastic, Senator. And that's what we need. I mean, we need people. See, that right there will make people want to go vote. You know, when you have the person who is representing your community and then people say, why am I voting? What good does that do? Mm-hmm. You're hearing it right here. So we're actually doing voter education right now. We are doing voter education and inspiration, Dr. Jarvis, right now. Get us out of here.
Tuning in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, where we're about the people, the community,
and the issues.
Thanks for tuning in to News Talk Cleveland, WERE AM 1490, the people station of Cleveland, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition.
And don't forget to visit the website.
All right, we'll do the website and come back. You'll hear from us on the other side of this break.
Pastor.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. News Talk 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights WZAK HD3 Cleveland.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
News Talk 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights WZAK HD3 Cleveland. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
All right, we're here, Dr. Jarvis. We're back to issues of people in the community. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips, Senior Pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church. And I thank God for Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis, who's here, as well as Shante Lewis Gibson. And we're in our last third. We call this the hot sauce senator. Our senator has to leave.
But
we got one more thing you want to talk about. But I do want her to say, because we were talking off air, and I think this is so important, Senator. Many times, you're so good. And the question was to you that how long have you been in Columbus? And she said 19 years. Tell everybody how you started off in this business.
Well, I had the good fortune of working for State Representative Annie Key. As a legislative aide, and I started working with her after I came back from D.C., learning actually how to manage political campaigns in 2001. Mm-hmm. And so I worked for State Rep Annie Key for 6 years prior to me becoming a state representative in the House of Representatives. I served 8 years there, and as you know, the voters passed term limits, We changed our constitution, so we get kicked out of the state house, each chamber, after 8 years. Now, you only have to stay out of that particular chamber for 4 years. You can go back, but you have to leave for at least 4 years. So I've been in the house 8 years as a member, and then now I'm in the end of my fifth year as a senator for the state.
And that's how you start from the bottom. And then you come up. That's the way you're supposed to do
it. If you really want to serve people, you don't jump in the middle expecting to know everything. You need to know the ins and outs and be able to serve the people that you represent. And it's really about relationships that you have with people. If you don't have relationships, we are in the super minority in the House of Representatives and the Ohio Senate. We have 9 Democrats. That means we have 24 Republicans. If we didn't show up to work, they would still have enough people at work to actually pass laws.
Absolutely.
And they have enough people to overturn the governor's veto.
Absolutely.
So we have to have relationships with people on the other side of the aisle to bring dollars and to get bills passed in the legislature. And I can tell you, I have been very successful at that.
Yes, you
have. At first, people didn't like it because I worked with Republicans to get something done. But as I told my constituents who called me and said, why are you working with Republicans? Number one, everybody has their issues, number one.
Right.
But two, you sent me down to Columbus to get something done. So when I'm bringing the millions of dollars back here to you through the capital budget or the millions of dollars I've brought back through the operating budget for programs here, you would not have gotten that money if I would have just sat on the sidelines and said, I'm just going to say no because I want to say no because you are a Republican.
That's
I don't work
crazy.
That way. And that's how the 21st Senate District was able to get so much money in this community.
Tell us your last thing because I know you got to go and
sure.
I'll let you go, but I want to close with something. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, before I leave, this is my last thing, but I have a utility form every year. I have a utility forum in January of every year. I have been the ranking Democrat and the vice chair of the Utilities Committee for the 11 years that I have. The first 2 years I wasn't, but for the last 11 years. And as you all know, we can't do anything without the lights on.
That's right.
If we don't have lights, if we don't have gas,
that's right,
we will not be living. So those things are important for people in our community, as well as water and sewer. And what I found is that there are a lot of people in our community who cannot afford their light bill, their gas bill, and they don't know about programs that we have set up through the state or that First Energy or Dominion East Ohio may offer to them.
That's
number
right.
one, there is a $175 reconnect order in place right now. So usually it starts in October of every year. The Public Utilities Commission or the governor will order the reconnect order. And basically that says is for all those people who are out there who don't have gas and who don't have electric, you can pay your utility $175 and they have to turn your service back on.
Wow.
Whether you owe them $25,000 or if you owe them $10,000. And trust me, I know people who owe that much.
Yeah, me too.
If you pay $175, they have 3 days to turn your service back on. And then.
Now, is that all utilities or is that just electric?
Electric and gas.
Electric
and
gas.
And the only reason that doesn't apply to the City of Cleveland's water and sewer department is because the City of Cleveland is not regulated through the state of Ohio. They do have their own policy. So the water and sewer people here are regulated by the city.
Right.
But if you have a gas issue and you're out there without gas, if you're out there without without electricity, call your utility company. They cannot turn you down. Tell them you want to participate in a renter reconnect order. You pay $175, and they have to turn your service back on, and they put all the bills that you owe, basically in their arrears, and then you start over, and you'll pay a percentage of that. Mm-hmm.
All right, now, and people, if you don't...
You said renters only?
No, this is for anybody.
All right, and if you're out there, listeners, if you're out there, if they give you a trouble, call the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, and that number is what, Shantae?
216-333-1827. That's 216-333-1827.
Say that with a little more excitement in your voice, Shantae.
216-333-1827.
Thank you.
If you want to talk to me, hit extension 0. If you want to talk to nobody, hit extension 1, and you will get
Pastor Phillips.
But
I will tell you,
and
what we'll do is play this tape and tell them we got this straight from the senator who made sure that we have this available to us. Thank you for that.
So listen, in January, I bring all of those utility companies, including Heat, Pip, everybody who can give you a discount on your bill, people who can pay your bill if you are indigent. I bring the First Energy, Dominion East Ohio, every program in the state that does work in Cleveland will be at the Vocational Guidance Center. And I believe it's going to be the third Saturday in January.
Now, where's that Vocational Guidance Center?
That's on 55th in Cleveland.
You have a flyer about that?
I will send that to you all.
We'll get that. We'll get the word out.
Okay. Yes. And let me tell you, when I have this program, unlike when you go downtown to the office that'll give you some assistance, they usually take 10, 20 people a day. And then you have people standing in line at 4 o'clock in the morning just to try to be one of those 10 or 20 people.
Right.
We don't turn people away. And when I had it 2 years ago, they started lining up at the 3rd District Police Station, the police officer said, at 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
The police officers felt so bad for him, they let him in the lobby. The program didn't start till 9 a.m.
Right.
That is how desperate people are to keep their utilities on. Yeah.
That's
why I'm doing this program. We get people signed up that day. All I need them to do is bring a copy, not the original, a copy of their utility bills and bring their income. That's all you need.
Like a W-2 or something like that?
Yeah, your W-2, but bring utility bills. Yes, bring those.
What about an ID or anything? A Social Security card, what other?
I would say bring your ID. Yeah, you have to bring an ID.
Bring
your ID, your income, and if you don't have income, then you don't have income to bring.
Yeah.
But bring a copy of your utility bill.
Copy your utility bill.
And there are programs that will help pay your utility bills, a one-time fee once a year, they will pay that for you.
Now, you know what every preacher is asking right now. Mm-hmm. Do we got something like that for the churches?
No. They don't. But
I just want to ask the question.
We have worked with organizations such as a few churches and a few not-for-profit organizations who had not paid their gas bill and their light bill. I don't know how they got these bills, but thousands of dollars.
Oh, right.
And so I worked with them to help them get a payment plan that they could actually afford.
Okay.
So there is a way to address the issue. And just recently I had a lady, I was at a ward meeting, and a lady said she didn't have sewer service or water service. And I've had to work with the water and sewer departments, and we've worked with them, even though they don't fall under my purview, but they have worked with me to turn people's water and sewer back on. But imagine, while we're in the legislature talking about what people can afford and what they can't afford, there are people who are out there who don't even have running water
in their homes, right?
Because they can't afford it.
Right.
And so this lady who was a senior citizen does not have water. And my assistant said, ma'am, how have you been, what are you doing for water? She was like, I haven't had water in months. People just bring me bottles of water. That's how I take a bath. That's how I wash up.
Listen, we've had members of our congregation who has come to the church to use the church water because their water is off. I mean, you're talking real stuff. We're in the neighborhood.
These are the real bread and butter issues that people care about. And so the last issue I wanted to talk to you about is the issue of gentrification.
Oh.
Now, people
That's a big deal.
Love development in their community, but they don't want to be priced out of the community because of it.
Right.
And so I have been getting a lot of calls from people about these property tax bills that they have been receiving. Some people have had their bills jump up 5 times the normal rate that they've had to pay. Some of them have been tenfold, and people are being priced out of the market. One lady who her income was like $1,500 a month. Older senior citizen has lived in a community for over 30 years, and now she can't afford to pay her bill.
That happened. Mm-hmm.
So now I sent them the homestead. Something happened to you as
well? No, I was saying that Cleveland Clinic area when they started rebuilding.
East side, west side, it's all over. So people want this development, but they want to be able to stay in their house and afford it, because I can tell you, with the rate of rent right now,
right,
it's hard. If you only bring home $1,500 a month,
and your rent is $8,
how are you going to pay
$1,000 worth of rent?
At least.
Right.
Eight.
And you're going to pay at least $8, because I know people who are paying more for a two-family.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Upstairs only.
Oh, absolutely.
So my goal is to make sure people can stay in a home. So I'm proposing a couple of things right now.
Okay.
Number one, if you are a homeowner and you rent to a person, to make sure the community is still a place where people who don't have a lot of money, this bill will give you a discount on your property taxes if you rent to a person who doesn't have a lot of income. Hmm. So we have
That's
a lot of
smart.
People who are making minimum wage and
That's
cannot
really
afford
smart.
To pay a whole bunch of money. And because you're not collecting that much money from those people, then what I hope you will do to deal with this issue of affordable housing is I want you to say, okay, I'm going to rent to you at a rate that you can afford, but at the same time, the state or the county, because and this is permissible, they can, if this bill passes, reduce your property taxes.
The
owner's property taxes will be reduced to make it affordable for them to rent to a person who doesn't have a lot of money.
Right,
a low
right.
income yeah. person. They've right. done this in other states, and I think it's a
great
good thing
idea.
For us to do. Mm-hmm. There's another thing I
well,
want
to do. That's innovative and
Number
progressive.
A few states have passed a cap because of gentrification and all the increases in housing value within the community.
Okay.
So if you have been in a community before all the building took place, then what I would like to do is so that you're not faced with a property tax bill
it's
that used to be $500 or $1,000, and then you get one that's, say, $7,000, mm-hmm. I want you to be capped. I want there to be a 10% cap on how much your property tax can be mm-hmm. increased mm-hmm. so that you're not priced out. So if you were paying $1,000, then your next payment, $1,100.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does that affect the city that's receiving those taxes? Will they have to take a decrease in receiving revenue because they're not maxing out on their property tax taxes?
I'll say two things, Pastor Phillips. Number one, they weren't getting an increase before the development took place. Mm. So you were only getting a certain amount. Mm. But
that's
because
true.
Of the development, there is going to be other property taxes that are being collected by the city mm-hmm. to make up for that. So when you're building
That's
these
true.
Big condominiums that are costing in some of these communities $1,600, $1,800 a month to live, I called a few of them just to see if I could afford it. The answer was no, I couldn't. So I'm going to stay right where I am. I mean, I own my house, so I'm paying the taxes. But you're collecting, so you're not limiting them.
Okay.
But in the bill that's being written right now, if you're receiving money from HUD, or if you're receiving money from the program, we have something called OFA, Ohio Housing Financing Agency,
mm-hmm.
or any other assistance to build these, or the historical tax credit and all of these programs, those buildings don't apply. So they're going to still be charged the same thing. But what I'm trying to get is a cap so that the people who have been in the community for years can stay. And that also goes to mixed-use properties that we have. People want to build mixed-use so you're not building a whole community full of poor people or you're not building a whole community full of wealthy people. Let's mix it everybody in together, and mm-hmm. we can all live, happily ever
after. After, right.
And
That's
then
right.
my final one deals with grandfathering people in mm-hmm. for people who have lived in their community. Now,
That's
the bill is
thinking.
Currently written at 30 years. So if you're in an area where we're doing a lot of building and we are increasing the property values, this is great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't have the money and I won't keep my little house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to move.
Okay.
And so this bill says that if you've been there 30 years, which I think we really
you
need to change that,
it.
Your property taxes are going to stay the same.
Now,
okay.
all of these are permissible. So there
okay.
will have to be a resolution mm-hmm. or an acceptance of these policies passed by the local auditor's office, the county, or the city, because they're the ones who are going to be losing it. But it would be up to them. But this is another option in the tube belt, if these bills pass, to make sure that people are not kicked out, removed from their communities, and they can stay in their homes. So that's
now,
what
do,
I'm working
do,
on.
Do you have bipartisan support for this?
I have a lot of people who have talked to me about this. Once the bill is completed the drafting process, I'm going to share it with my colleagues, and my colleagues can then decide. We send out something called a co-sponsorship request.
Okay.
And when we send out a co-sponsor request, we often send the bill out, and we'll send a synopsis of what is included in the legislation, and then they can decide whether or not they want to sign on at that process, or it could then be assigned to a committee within the Senate, and then the committee will
gotcha.
Take it up, and they can actually
So you're at the beginning stage of introducing the bill.
But I think we're going to get some support on this because it's really good. And I'll tell you this. This is another thing that's happening. And Representative House and I have been addressing this issue for a while. Years ago, when we used to have a lot of people from the outside coming in when the housing values went down, and we had a lot of outside investors coming into all communities around the state of Ohio. And then they're buying up all these properties. And then we didn't know who owned the properties. They didn't have to register or anything. They buy them and then never go down to the court or to the registrar and put it in their name. But one of the other things we did a few years ago is say that if you're behind on your taxes, then and you have to be for a certain number of years, and I forget the number right now, the auditor will send you, keep sending you letters saying, hey, you have not paid your taxes. They keep sending you these letters, and I know they have to send it to you about 3-4 years. If you don't pay your taxes, and most people are scared to call because they don't have that money, and what they should do is call and make a payment arrangement. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that money, they sell your tax lien.
Right.
Yeah, your house is not your house anymore.
And you lose your home.
Yeah. Right.
This happened to a friend of mine's mother, Ms. Freeman. She has since passed away. She was in that house when I moved in on Buckeye. And Ms. Freeman lost her house because she was behind in taxes, and she called me after they sold it. She called me after the fact, but she didn't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was almost 90 years old.
Wow.
But she called me and said, baby, can you help them? Help me? And I called the people. The county had already sold that debt loan. Mm. And so a lot of people are getting their houses taken away from them.
And don't even know it.
They know it when they get put out.
Right.
And then
right.
the rate to get your money back is like 18%.
Oh, wow.
That's set by the state. I think it was 18%. And they can charge you fees on top of that. And then let me tell you what the worst part about all of that, not only that you lose your house because you're behind on your taxes and can't afford them, number two, they can charge you 18% right off the top for what they paid for your taxes. And then number three, this is what these people who are buying these houses downtown are doing. I'm buying a house, say I'm Williams Investment. So now I'm charge you 18%, and then I'm going to charge you all these fees, right? So then Williams Investment says, okay, I'm going to sell it to Phillips Investment. Guess what? You get to tack on 18% and all of your fees.
That sounds like some predatory
operation.
Right.
Wow. 50%.
Right. And there is no limit on how many times they can transfer that loan.
The
and
title.
So we're working with that title. So we're working with a few people right now, but the law is the law, and they can do that.
Wow.
So they transfer these doggone properties like, all the time. And so you will never get your house back.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think we got a caller, Senator. Leo, let's grab this caller before we get out of here. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Brother Charles B.
That's Brother Bibbs. It's Brother
First
Bibbs.
I want to thank you. My thanks is for your show, Reverend Aaron Phillips, and you and Dr. Gwen Jarvis.
Thank you, sir.
And I want to thank my state representative, Sandra Williams, for being on it today.
Thank you, Charlie Bibb.
And then you're doing an awesome job. You did a beautiful job on how it happened in the past on the minority piece.
That's exactly right.
When
he was
Republicans
involved.
Was in, they had it up to 8%. When the Democratic governor came in, it dropped down to 5%. And you're on top of that. And I'm glad to hear the bill that you're working on now. I have a bill 222 next door to my office in Chandler Park. And they have that million people who don't have license. I'm glad to see you working on that and all the future products you're working on.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bibb.
Yes, and Brother Aaron Phillips.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Monsignor.
The only sad part about it is she's in the middle of her term.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So she's term limited. She won't say it, but I can say it. She's term limited, so we got to find her something to do after that term is over. We'll have 2 years after this 2020 election, so let's find us something to do.
Well, you know, we are very supportive, and I will tell you, there's a heap of things for our senator to do. And when you're a leader the way she's a leader, the truth of the matter is, just because you're not an elected official doesn't mean you're not a leader anymore.
Right.
You are a leader in our community.
And I remember, State Senator, when you came to Columbus, and boy, have you learned and have you grown, and you are at the top of the state government and doing an excellent job.
Hey, Charlie.
A nice, happy Thanksgiving Day.
Monsignor Bibb.
Yes.
What do you think about Governor Williams?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yeah. How about that? How about that, Monsignor?
let me put one on your mind.
Oh, yeah.
We've had three governors from Calgary County in recent years.
All right.
I won't have you guess. I'll just tell you.
Thank you, sir.
Bonavich and Celeste. We never had an African-American government like they had in Massachusetts, Deval Patrick.
That's right.
Or as they had in Virginia, like Doug Wilder.
Yes.
We could hit three balls at one zone if we do this one this next time.
You sure right about that.
Governor
Williams. Governor Williams. She can't,
you
know, she can't.
I won't agree to that.
She can't. Yeah, she can't.
I have to give it to you, Reverend. Hey, Dr. Gwen.
Yes.
Reverend, pick that ball up. Beautiful boy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Monsignor, you trained me well, Monsignor. You
yes,
Reverend
that's
Cavanaugh.
Right, that's right.
You Reverend Cavanaugh.
Yeah,
you all have.
Two right from Cleveland and come right out of the heart of Cleveland.
Yes, she does.
And Vanovich, and we can do that. We can do it.
Thank you, Monsignor. Appreciate
you. All right,
we'll
talk about it right after holidays.
Yes,
One last request, Pastor Aaron Phillips.
Yes, sir.
We have to have her back right after the holidays.
Yes, sir. She can come anytime.
She got so much to offer. Please try to put her
yes,
on
sir.
Your early 2020 agenda.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You heard from our local governor,
Senator Monsignor Charlie Beard. We appreciate him.
Thank you, Pastor Beard.
I better get off this line.
You better get off that line. That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank God. He's an avid listener. We have a great constituency, and I thank God and thank God for him and Reverend Cavanaugh, our people who have been blazing these trails for a very long time, who I am very grateful. I want to close with, Senator, because you've got to go, I know, but it's when you start from the bottom and you come up, you keep a certain sense of humility mm-hmm. and compassion and understanding the people. And that's how I did it, and that's the way you have done it, and I really appreciate that. People who just come from nowhere and then all of a sudden they're put in a position, they don't have an appreciation for what they have really brought and gotten mm-hmm. Placed in. And so it does speak to when you paid your dues. And I have to tell people that all the time, you know, I didn't just start being like this. I used to go to meetings and wouldn't nobody even know I was there. You know,
exactly.
Then I was going to meetings that nobody else would go to. I mean,
yes.
I've been doing a lot of things. This is a long time. I didn't just start. I'm not new to this. I'm just true to it. And I really appreciate how you have come up that way. We need more leadership like you got in Cleveland. We really do. And that's one of the things that we are lacking in the African-American community. So when you have good leaders, I always love to support great leadership.
Yes,
and
sir.
I have no problem. I tell people all the time, I am not a politician. I'm not elected official. That's why I leave that stuff up for our folks who do that. And I support that, and I believe very much in that. And every time we're in Columbus, because we do actions, I said, listen, I don't care. She doesn't have to be here. We're going by her office and saying, we were here. That's showing respect to our senator. And you have great staff,
yes,
doesn't she? Remember
she
we went
to. Kiera?
Yes, yeah, we got
Kiera
to meet your staff.
And Gabby.
Yes. That's right.
Gabby.
That's right. You remember that? We went to speak with one of the African American senators who's a minister. I can't call it.
Senator Craig.
We went to Senator Craig.
Behind.
Yeah, right. I said, listen, we are not leaving here without letting my senator know that I was in her town. Mm-hmm. That would be a horrible thing.
We don't catch
know,
you.
But no, it doesn't matter.
But we're there.
That's what you call R-E-S-E-P-C-T, respect.
Right. Right.
And I believe in that.
You guys come off the bus a few times.
Yeah, yes, you have. We've been off the bus, and we were there. You were there when we came, when Rev Cav was at his furrow. He was mad at Kasich for not appointing folks there, and you stood with us then. Mm-hmm. Reverend Cavanaugh talking about, I'm going to jail. That's when I started backing up.
Gosh.
Okay, Reverend, you going to do that by yourself. But he stood tall, and we always did. And actually, that's who I learned that from. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, listen, before we leave here, mm-hmm. we're going by the senator's office. That's what you do. And I really appreciate your hard work and your mm-hmm. commitment to our community. I really do.
You probably don't
hear that enough. Most mm-hmm. of the time, people who serve don't get that kind of support. I don't get to hear it. So I really want to let you know we greatly appreciate your service and your leadership. Thank you for all that you're doing in our community, and you are a fantastic leader. And I thank God for you. And we are your constituency, and we are following your leadership. And you have an open invitation. You can just call, say, I want to come on. Mm-hmm. Whatever I'm doing, you know, you got to get off the air because the senator is coming to town.
Okay.
So we really appreciate you.
I really appreciate that. And, you know, I want to come back next year because next year is the census.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yes.
As you know, the census determines how much money we get from the federal government.
Right.
Everybody needs to be counted. counted. So I would love to come back.
That's right.
And talk to you all about that. They are hiring. So when you're doing all the recruiting from your organization, please make sure you let people know that they are hiring people. I think they're supposed to hire 500,000 people for the census. So that's that. And then let me just close by saying thank you to all of you for inviting me here. It has been my pleasure to come on and talk to people about what's happening in Columbus. I believe that people don't know enough about what we do. And sometimes you can hide by a vote if people don't know what's happening. So you need to know who's voting for what and why they're voting for it to make sure they're voting in your favor since they represent you. But I will say this, I would not have been a state representative or a state senator had it not been for all of the constituents in my district. And I just want to thank them for giving me an opportunity and believing in me when they didn't know me. They knew me as Representative Key's aide, but they didn't know how I would be as an elected official. And they have stood by me no matter what. And, you know, I'm forever grateful for that opportunity.
Wow. Well said. Isn't that well said? Oh, that is fantastic. I really appreciate that, Senator. We thank God for you and your leadership, and she's so right. And you have proven to be a great leader. Thank God for Pastor Sullivan. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have known you. Thank God for you for coming on. We'll have you on next year. We are recruiting people for the census job, by the way. Young lady Stevenson from the City Hall is helping us with that. So, man, we would love for you to come back. You got a date for after the holidays. And Brother Bibbs, you heard that. She will be back on the air. Dr. Jarvis.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, Dr. Jarvis. I'm going to get you out of here. Thank you, Shantae, for being here. Say hello. God. All right. We will be back next week. This was the Hour of Hot Sauce. Take it away, Dr. Jarvis.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, where we talk about the people, the community, and the issues. Thanks for tuning in to
20 seconds.
Cleveland Clergy Coalition.
All right.
Where we talk about the people, the issues, and the community.
We'll hear you back. We love you, Cleveland. We'll be back next week. God bless you.
Andrew Williams.
Have a great week, Cleveland.
Have a great week, guys. Bye.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.